All right, let's get ready to transition into the preaching of the Word of God. We are excited for what God is doing. All right, would you repeat after me? This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple,
where we love by living our vision every day.
Amen. Now, we don't have a young person to do this. Lady Alana is going to do it when she's back, so I will go ahead and do it. But remember, all you young people, you are able to do this confession for a blessing. So let's do it together. We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Father God, feed me your word.
If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and praise the Lord this morning.
Amen. I believe that we're going to be fed. I'm praising God too, because even though I am speaking, I'm also being fed at the same time. All right, let's just do a little recap. So the last time I preached, we closed on followership series. And I will just add this. The young lady who spoke to us on last week, I believe the Lord blessed her, and we thank God for Bishop's ministry in her and her just sharing with us. It was a blessing to see. Amen. And so let's just recap the followership series really quick. And so the first one was failure to follow. Number two was failure to submit. Number three was faithful followers. Number four was failing followers. And we culminated it and closed it with courageous followers. And so I said at first, elect lady was going to share, and so I wasn't planning on speaking, but then the Lord shifted some things around. And so what we're going to do, even though we've closed the sermon series, just go ahead and put this up here. It's good every now and then just to have a bonus. So we're going to have a bonus sermon. And let me just prophesy really quick. I know for some of you who are workers, sometimes you get bonuses. I prophesy some supernatural bonuses to come into your life. Stuff you wasn't even looking for, wasn't even planning about, but God just decided to flip a switch and the bonus shows up. Amen. So, bonus sermon. So here's what we're going to tackle. We're going to kind of add it into the followership series as a bonus, and we're going to call it the leader within. Somebody say that with me. Say the leader. Within. So the whole idea of the followership series is the idea that following is not less than leading. It takes the same skills it takes to develop a follower. It's the same skill it takes to develop leadership as well. But when you think about it, the greatest person you'll ever follow really is your own self. And so you've got to learn how to develop, cultivate, and listen to the leader that's within. And the first praise song that we listen to is called Psalms 23, but that song has been stayed with me for the last couple months. And I like the part with the bridge when it goes to your spirit lives within me. And so that's why I'm going to follow. I'm going to be able, the reason why I'm going to be okay is because of what's dwelling on the inside of me. And if it's only you in you, you are lost already. But if you have something else on the inside, it's always going to help you, and you'll be able to lead from within, because there is a leader within. Yes. If you have invited the leader within to be in.
I tell this story all the time, and I'm going to start off by telling it again. The time when I was a youth pastor and we were traveling somewhere. I can't remember where we were traveling from, but we had a van and I was driving the van and we were on our way back. And the church van light began to run toward empty. And I seen a gas station, but I am my daddy's son. And since I'm my daddy's son, I don't like to pay for high gas. And so I decided we're going to pass that gas station up and we're going to get to another one. Now, this is before the days of GPS on your phone. Unfortunately, as I passed that gas station up, I didn't see no more gas station for miles. And I got a little worried because I got these folks' kids in the van with me. And the last thing I wanted to do was to run out of gas with these kids and have everybody upset with me with my leadership. And so I'm praying hard, God, let me find the gas station. And then all of a sudden, the gas hand went from E and jumped all the way to full. And I'm thinking, God, did you answer my prayer? I don't know what happened because I know we was on E and it jumped all the way to full. And so when it jumped all the way to full, I found myself at another gas station and I said, even though it jumped to full, I'm not going to take a chance and I'm going to go and I'm going to fill up. And surprising to me, the gas filled all the way up. It went all the way up. So I was so confused. And so when I got home and we got everybody home, I was talking to my dad about the experience and he kind of chuckled at me. He said, Andre, that van has two tanks. And when one tank gets all the way empty, the other tank automatically kicks in. And I caught a revelation. When you have the right one on the inside, when you run empty, you're never empty because you have access to another tank. And the other tank will always kick in. That's why when it looks like you should be low, you'll still be praising. Here's what's sometimes interesting about us. It doesn't always show, our praise doesn't always show the kind of week that we've had. See, we come in here on Sunday morning and we're praising and we're happy and we're amening and people may assume you had a great week. Actually, I had a horrible week, but I'm tapping into that other tank. That other tank just automatically takes over and I can't help it. Eat when I should be down, I find myself praising. When I should be crying, I find myself happy. I can't help it because I've got access to another tank. It's something on the inside. But here's the thing about that particular van. The only way the other tank would kick in, you had to be all the way empty. The difference with our tank, you ain't got to be empty for it to kick in. I might be on full and it's still kicking. I might be singing songs of Zion and I'm not even depressed. I'm just happy because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in. So you got something on the inside. Let's look at Luke 17. Before I have Mother Mitchell read this, I will always want to remind us, and the reason I want to remind us, because reading the Bible for years, I didn't quite catch it until I began to put it into context. If you look at the Old Testament prophesies that a king is going to come, a Messiah is going to come, and it talks about the Messiah setting up a literal physical kingdom, but that's going to happen in the ages to come. Unfortunately, the disciples and the Pharisees and other people thought that the Messiah must set up a literal physical kingdom to overthrow Rome, because Rome, when we see the New Testament, Rome was taking over the known world, including Israel. So they were looking for someone to get them out of their immediate trouble. Now go ahead with that context. Read Luke 17, 20 and 21.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
They're demanding him. If you the big and bad Messiah that you say you are, if you the Son of God, I want you to tell us when the kingdom of God is going to come. Tell us right now. Is it going to be Tuesday at 12 a.m.? I need to know. And so basically they were saying, you ain't him because you can't tell us when it's going to come. But the way he answered said, it really don't come by observation. Don't come from looking out there, read.
Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there.
Look here, look there.
For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
The problem y'all have is what Jesus is saying. You're looking for the answer out there. And I'm trying to put the answer in here. What's going to happen in the next few years with the Congress and with Donald Trump? And God says, stop looking to CNN and start looking to INN right up on the inside of here, because the answer is hidden within you. Yes. All right, let's take it to another scripture. Getting off of that for a second, Isaiah 30, 20.
Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes.
This is talking about specifically Isaiah's prophesying to rebellious Israel. And he said, because of how you've been acting, God has to reward you with affliction. But even though he has to reward you with affliction, or like Sister Jaron talked on last week about, is correction, not cancellation. Even though he's correcting you, I want you to understand he's still with you. He's still near to you. And look at what it says in verse 21.
Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.
In other words, you're going to have the not global positioning system, which is what GPS stands for. You're going to have God's positioning system that is whispering you, telling you which way to go. In other words, your answers are already within. And here's the point I want to make specifically about that scripture. If God was telling rebellious Israel who would not follow him, who was worshiping idols, if God was telling them, I'm still going to be with you, and I'm still going to talk to you and lead you where you need to go. What about us who have decided to follow Jesus? What do you think he's doing with us? If he would lead a rebel, what do you think he'll do with his children? The point I'm trying to make is he's going to come on the inside of you after you invite him in, and he's going to stay there as long as you don't invite him out or kick him out. And as long as he's there, he's going to keep telling you which way you should go, what you should need to do. You are never without an answer, because the answer is always within. There is always a leader within. All right, so here, let me paint the whole sermon right quick and tell you everything about the sermon really quick. Go ahead and put it up. Here's the whole premise. Ties into the followership. Jesus is the ultimate leader, and he lives in us. So if we're going to follow anything, we got to first of all learn to follow what's already in us. I want you to follow my leadership, but my leadership ought to confirm what's already within you. If I come to you, Sister Ella, and say, God told me you're supposed to be my wife, you got to say, well, you already got a wife. That don't line up. There's no confirmation in that. I don't know what you're talking about, but the God inside of me cannot take that leadership, because it doesn't line up with the leader within. And that's how some Christians get lost, is because they're listening to folk that don't line up to the Jesus you already have on the inside. Now, I used a crazy example, but there are people who have sold their houses, quit their jobs on a word from some prophet that God was not even speaking to not too long ago. And it's really not funny. Not too long ago, I seen a prophet, and it was video and it was filmed. A prophet called this woman in the church
And she said, stand up. God's going to give you a husband. Stand up and dance for it. She was dancing that God's going to give you a husband. And then he pointed to the drummer, told the drummer to stand up. Then he told the woman to go over there. That's your husband. And the drummer said, I'm already married. And the prophet said, that's okay. No, it's not okay. You off. That's not my wife. I already have someone. But the reason why he knew not to listen to it is because it conflicted with the Jesus that was already within. If you, we used to sing a song, with the Jesus in me and the Jesus in you, you're easy to love. But if I got Jesus in me and you got demons in you, we're not going to be able to mesh together. Jesus in me is leading me, and any other leadership ought to confirm the leader that is already within. It should not compromise the leader that is within. Amen. Brother Donald, the Lord told me you were stressed out. So I got some edibles that me and you going to eat, and we going to read the word together. No, Pastor Andre, eat them edibles by yourself. That conflicts what God is doing in my spirit. And if folk would have their own Holy Ghost, they would stop falling for the okey-doke. You got a leader within. Jesus is within. All right, now we're going to go ahead. That was just a preface up. Now we're going to go ahead and roll. Go ahead and flash this up here. Six leading following lessons from Mark 4, 35 through 41. So as we get into it, you will understand these. I'm taking what I just told you about the leader within, and I'm going to take you right to something in the New Testament that reminds you of exactly what I am saying. Somebody say, preach, Pastor.
Preach, Pastor.
All right, I'm going to try since you asked me to. Mark 4:35. Go ahead and put that up.
On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side.
He, meaning Jesus, spoke to his disciples and said, let us go to the other side. Here's the context. He was dealing with the multitudes and the crowds, and he told his team, his leadership team, we're getting ready to go to the other side. We're leaving here. We're going to the other side. And there was what we call the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. It's said of many different ways in the scripture, but it's basically the Sea of Galilee. To put it in context, those of you who are in Indianapolis, it's like Morris Reservoir or Geist Lake. For us, it's like Prairie Creek. It's not that big of a sea. It was a small sea. It was a deep sea, but it was a small sea, and it was where they would have to pass to get to other places. And so let's put up point number one of these six. We're going to have a point and a letter takeaway. Here's the number point. The voice within is always focused on progress. This is how you will know about the leader that was in. The leader within will never allow you to settle just for where you are. Amen. Let me put up a letter that adds context to that. Here's the letter A, a takeaway for context. God is always pointing us forward, so what has been won't stop what will be. What they were doing was quite important. God was dealing through Jesus with the multitudes, but then he told them, let's go to the other side. What happened to be on the other side was the demoniac who was filled with demons. And God, through Jesus, through God, knew that he was going to have to go minister somewhere else. And so he couldn't let what he was doing stop him from where he was going. So he gave the instruction to his disciples, let's go to the other side. I need to talk to some of y'all. Some of y'all don't have an other side mentality. You've been raised in Muncie, Indiana all your life, and so you just have a small town mentality. But sometimes you got to get up and look to the other side. That's why I encourage you in this ministry, even if you don't have the money to go anywhere, get a passport just in case. I don't want anybody to be limited to by where you have been, because where you're going is bigger than where you were. That's why in a car, the windshield is always bigger than the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is important, but you're supposed to be moving forward, so the windshield is much bigger. The other side, many times, is bigger than where you currently are. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? It's a possibility. The man that you love is not connected to the other side. So in order to get to the other side, the man that you love, gotta let him go. It's just so funny. I was just happened to yesterday. I was listening to a New Edition Heartbreak. Yeah, I don't listen to gospel all the time. You know, don't judge me. But anyway, it was a song that I used to love called If It Isn't Love. Why do I feel this way? And as I was listening to it, I got so tickled. And you know what tickled me is when I first heard that, there was a girl that I had in mind. And I ain't with that girl today. Because at the time, at my 16-year-old self, or however I old was, I thought that was love. But sometimes what you thought was love, you mature out of it. You grow out of things and you grow out of people. And so if you are always worried about what was, sometimes you will never see what will be. I wish I could stay there more, but I got to move on. But some of y'all, as I'm moving on to the next point, some of y'all need to do the same thing. Hear what I said? I said, I wish I could stay there, but I got to move on. I feel God saying the same thing to you. You wish you could stay here, but God says, you got to move on. Some of y'all think your last promotion is going to be your only promotion. But God is just giving you a step to something else. Don't be afraid to move on. Sometimes God bothers me. And because I am a person, I love new things, but I'm a person who can be comfortable. And so in my mind, the house I'm in is my last house. I can't stand moving. I don't like to move. I'm cool where I am. I got the mortgage to where it's going to be paid off early. I'm cool. But I heard God say to me one time, don't shut off what I can do. Just because you're comfortable don't mean I'm done blessing you. Just because you got a brand new car and it still has the brand new car smell don't mean God is done giving you brand new cars. Open up your mind to be able to go over to the other side. All right, let's look at verse 36.
Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him.
We're going to keep that verse up here for a second. And just, would you just say the first three words real quick?
Leaving the crowd.
That brings up point number two. The voice within us is often calling us away from the crowd. Let me give you the takeaway. This will put it real plain so you can understand it. The takeaway at B, go ahead and throw it up there for us. The multitude may celebrate you, but they cannot all sail with you. Sometimes, in order to go to promotion, you got to pass through isolation. Sometimes, the folk in your corner have to dwindle in order for you to get where you're trying to go. And sometimes, you have to be the catalyst that dwindles them. You got to leave some folk behind. Everybody can't go with you. Everybody can't hang with you. Now, when I was deciding that I was going to jump out of a plane, one of the things that I learned if I was going to do what we call the tandem jump was when you jump with someone else, I could only be a certain weight. If I was over that weight, I could not jump out of the plane because it would have been too much weight. It would have brought both of us down. So that means sometimes in order to do what you want to do, you got to shed some weight. You got to let some stuff go. And some people are just too heavy for you to carry them to your next assignment. Draylen is almost 18 years old, will turn 18 in March. But when he was born, I didn't mind carrying him. I don't want to carry him right now. He's too big and he's too old and he weighs too much for me to be carrying him, putting him in the car seat. And some of y'all got folk that you've outgrown and you still trying to carry them. Leave the crowd so you can go to the other side. You're weighing me down. Some of y'all, even though you're in church, you might need to start going to another seat next Sunday, because the folk next to you, you're just weighing me down. I got to go where I need to go. You're too heavy on me. You're too weighty. I got to get where I'm trying to go. All right. Verse 37.
And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up.
The reason why I brought this up, because a gale force wind or a fierce wind is also what they use to describe hurricanes. Now, hurricanes normally, they come in the oceans, and the oceans are vast. Remember, I told you that the Sea of Galilee is more like a reservoir. So think about hurricane winds in a smaller space. That's kind of rough. And then the scripture says the boat was already filling up. All right, let's put up number three, halfway there. External chaos always try to fill up and drown out internal peace. If you get tapped in to the leader within, if you get locked in on the inside, something will always happen on the outside that's designed to rock your boat. And I'm talking about rock you to your core. Whether it's your family. This is what I've said before. Satan usually doesn't have to use too many things. I call it the three M's or the three F's. It is your marriage, your money, your ministry. He'll try to rock those. Or to put it F, it's your faith, your family, your finances. If I can rock your money, if I can rock your family, I can rock your faith. If I can rock your marriage, if I can rock your money, I can rock your ministry. So there's always something on the outside that's trying to rob you of your internal peace, especially when things look like smooth sailing. One thing about those of us who are people of God and deal with spiritual warfare, sometimes we get afraid of peaceful times because we know something's got to be coming. Unfortunately, sometimes when my phone rings, there's an automatic anxiety, specifically because I work the midnight shift. So if Devin calls me at 2 a.m., it's not, "Hi, baby, how are you?" My first mindset is, what has happened? What has gone wrong? If my mama calls me at 12 midnight, my mind automatically defaults. Who's hurt? Who's in the hospital? When you've gone through trauma, certain things will try to trigger you. And I'm thank God we're moving out of the season where every time my phone rings, it's a negative thing. It's a bad thing. Sometimes folks are just saying, "I was up late. I just want to talk to you." Whew. Oh, I was concerned. I was worried because of all we've been through. And because of all you've been through, when you finally achieve some internal peace, whew, the winds will start cutting up. Let's look at the C, the takeaway here. When storms arise, they test what or who is really leading us. So the storms arise, and what they do, they actually test what you're really trusting or who you're really trusting in. And one thing I found out, and that's why there's two songs that's been in my spirit. The one that we played early, and the other one is the Trust in God by Elevation. And I love the part that says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered." That's why I trust in God, because I sought him and he came through. Here's the thing. If you never had to seek him in dark times, you never know that you can trust him, not just in happy times, but you can trust him sad times. And it is the storm that convinced to me what I really have. It was the years of death that just kept coming after us. Death was coming like waves off of the ocean, bearing folk left and right, just beating me down. Family members and friends of life just coming on top of me. One of the weirdest ones was Brother Marvin Strong. And what happened was is that him and I were to do a funeral together. He was the MC, I was the preacher. And so on Wednesday night at about 1 a.m., actually it would have been Thursday at 1 a.m., he calls me. And as he calls me, and I was like, "What's going on, Brother Marvin?" He said, I know you got to preach later on today. I just want to pray with you that souls will be saved." Ah, praise the Lord. And so Thursday, he does the MCing, I do the preaching. By Tuesday of the few days later, he was gone. I was sitting next to him in a funeral on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 5 days later, he was gone. Then I had to preach his funeral. And I can go on and on from there. Everything that happened before and after. But I found out, even in loss and grief and pain and confusion, I can still trust God. It's what's interesting is I didn't get weaker, I got stronger. Yes, the water was in the boat. Yes, it was filling up. Yes, it gone up to my eyes, and I'm not a scuba diver and I can't swim, but somehow I still survive. I feel like Gloria Gaynor. I'm a survivor. I can come out. I can pop out and shine, because I've been where it was rough. I've been in the desert. I've been on the bottom of the barrel, and somehow I'm still here. I'm still anointed. I'm still powerful. And it's not just me. You got divorced and you're still here. You lost your job and you're still here. You was depressed and you're still here. They lied on you and you're still here. Oh, they convicted you and gave you 26 years in prison. But 7 years later, something had to turn around, because God will get in the middle of your trouble and show you I'm a God that works through the worst situations. He's a bad God. Oh, he's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a doctor in a sick room. Even he's better than the undertaker at a funeral. He will undertake you and undergird you, and he'll pick you up. I understand when folks say, "He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground." That's why I trust in God. It's bad. Something about him. He's bad. Sister K, he's a bad. He's a bad mamma jamma. It's bad. He's God. He's God all by himself. But he's not just God in bad times. He's also God in good times. All right, so let's keep going. Let's look at Mark 4:38.
Jesus himself.
All right.
Asleep on the cushion.
I interrupt you. Go ahead and go back.
Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
Here's point four. I need you to understand this. And what was so interesting, before I go to this, I talked about the first song that was played in the praise. But late last night, I don't remember when it was, late last night, Sister Ella sent me a text and said, "Can you play this song?" And it just so happened to be a song about peace in a storm. And when I seen it, I said, like, oh, yeah, God, you, I know the word that you gave to me. That it's the right word. He confirmed his word. Now, as far as she knew, elect lady was still preaching. She didn't know we had made a change, but God, see, here's the thing about it. It's not a one-man show. God weaves his people together. So we're all on the same page. But point number four says what? The storm always tries to convince you that God no longer cares about you. They said, don't you care? We're about to perish. You in there, sleep on the boat. But at least he in there though. You remember the old Prego commercial that says, it's in there. It don't seem like you care, but you're still there. And you're asleep on the boat. No, let me tell you something else before I move on to the takeaway. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about care. The cares of life, the burdens. The actual word carry and the word care are connected together. And so when the point, and I'm not going to be too harsh on the disciples, because water was filling up the boat. And you have to understand that the boats, they ride on water as long as too much water don't get in the boat. So that means the boat was sinking and he was asleep. So I understand, like, don't you care? You don't seem to be moving. You're not talking. You're not doing anything. Sometimes God will do that to you. When things are getting rough, it seems like he'd go to sleep on you. But I thought about this as care and caring things. So here's two examples. One is a real example. The other is a fake example to make you understand. The real example is Lady Devon will go to the grocery store and she'll fill up car with groceries, and she'll come home in the driveway and she'll honk the horn. And when she honks the horn, it's a signal to the boys and the men to stop what we're doing and help her carry the load. In other words, it's too much. I done already bought it and I already got it in the car. Y'all help me carry the load. And that's what sometimes happens. And every now and then we didn't hear the horn honk. She got on our case. But let me flip it and say this. The same scenario happens. This is a fake scenario. She honks the horn. We come running out. And she gets out the car with a Twix in her hand. And she says, here, help me carry this. Here's the thought that we would think. You got us up to carry this. You could carry this by yourself. Here's the point that I want you to understand. Sometimes you're crying to God because he's not moving, but the burden hasn't got heavy enough. You got stuff you can still take care of. Pastor Andre, pray for me. I got a headache. Sweetheart, take two Excedrin and go on about your day. Don't waste me and God's time. It ain't that big of a deal. Just there's some stuff you can handle on your own. So here's another thing I need to point to you. Sometimes God is waiting till it gets too heavy. God isn't moving. God, you're not moving quick enough. He's not moving because you've been built up. And a lot of this stuff you can carry on your own. He's waiting till you have to say, I cannot carry this, and I've got to cast it on you. Yes, I still care, but the burden isn't great enough. But when the burden gets heavy enough, here I am, and I will carry your burden. But here's another deeper point that was trying to be conveyed. Here it is, the takeaway. D, the voice within is teaching us the power of resting on a promise. The promise was, we are going to the other side. Not perhaps, not by choice, not based on who gets elected, not if I'm not single, not if I get my degree. No, we're going to the other side. So he's trying to teach the disciples that the promise was already out there. And the reason why I'm asleep is not because of the storm. I'm asleep because of the promise. The reason why I can lay my head to rest is because I'm resting on the promise of God. If the promise says I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If the promise says I'm healed, I'm healed. If the promise says I'm delivered, I'm delivered. If the promise said he gonna bring me out, he gonna bring me out. If the promise said he gonna fix it up, he gonna fix it up. If the promise said he gonna turn it around, he gonna turn it around. The only job I have is to kick my feet up and rest in the promises of God. I ain't got time to fuss. Ain't got time to fret. I'm resting in the promises of God. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above only and I'm not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm resting in the promises of God. His promises are yes and amen. His promises are whatever God says they are. I believe God because he said it. If he spoke the world in existence, I believe what the Lord has said. Why don't you high five somebody and say, I'm resting on the promise of God. Brother Stebo, I got a melatonin anointing. I got a NyQuil anointing. I got a Benadryl anointing. I'm resting. I'm sleeping because God got it worked out. The Bible says he neither slumbers nor does he sleep. So ain't no need in both of us being up. I'm going to bed and let God do what he can do. Let him work it out. If I was in the old church, I'd say, baby, need a pair of shoes. Light bill due. Telephone disconnect. Waiting on your next paycheck. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to let them work it out. Work it out. Let's go to verse 39.
And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm.
Now, what was interesting about this, he only got up when he needed to get up. So if God ain't got up yet, he's not ready to get up yet. Even when he went to the cross and went to the ground in the grave, he was in the grave 3 days. And you want your situation to turn around in 3 seconds. Let him work. But when he gets up though, the last time he got up with all power in his hand. When he does get up, oh, it's going to be different. So the scripture says, and he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still, and the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Here's number five. Number five is this is a lesson. The voice within reminds us every storm has a source. What's interesting is the storm was not caused by the water or by the boat. The storm was caused by the wind. And since it was a smaller body of water, the wind was causing the trouble. And the problem with some of us is we really don't know the root of the problem. That's why it's better for us to rest, because many times we will mess with the fruit and never get to the root. But because he's God, he already knows what the root is. So he got up. He didn't talk to the boat. He didn't talk to the captain. He didn't talk to the water. He went straight to the source. He spoke to the wind. He said, peace, be still. I like this verse said, hush, shut up. Sometimes you just want shut up from the devil getting out of your situation. You want shut up for the devil getting off your job. You won. Shut up. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Shut up. Because the promise is already stronger than the situation. So shut up. All right. Here's a takeaway E. I like this one here. The authority in us is greater than the affliction around us. That's what he's teaching us. See, the whole time they were going through, the answer was already in the boat. Albeit it was asleep in the boat, but it was already there. He got up and spoke to it. So yeah, there's some stuff going on the outside of you. There's some stuff going on your job, in your family, in your money, in your situation. Stuff sometimes going on in your mind. But when God gets up, he'll speak to that situation. And the scripture says it was perfectly calm. Let me prophesy this to some of y'all. It's been a while since you had a perfect day. I mean, a day like a day where the birds chirping, the sun hit right, every song on the radio hit right, everybody in your cubicle acting right. It's been a while since you had one of those days, because that's not realistic. We deal with life. But God gonna bless some of y'all with just a perfect day. And just when it happens, I want you to text me and tell them God came through with one of them perfect days. Just made everything act right. Just worked everything out. Sometimes God will do it just to show you that he's God. Go to the restaurant and get ready to pay the bill, and they tell you somebody done already paid the bill. Just don't even know who it was. Just God just doing something. Oh, running late and catch every green light. Seem like red lights start jumping to green just cause you showed up. God will just do some stuff just to show you I'm still in charge. Just to show you, you ain't trusting. Let me borrow a page from my father. He said, you don't serve Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, but you serve the mighty and the living God. And every now and then, he'll just prove himself to you. The authority in us is greater than the affliction around us. The last two verses. Mark 40.
And he said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?
Basically, it's saying you got me. Yeah. You got me. You women, you ever had a man tell you, why you married, baby? You got me, baby. Shoot. What you tripping for? I'm on the scene, but I hear God saying, I'm on the scene with the gangster lean, and I want you to know I got everything taken care of. Why are you worried? Why are you doubting? Don't you know the leader within? Are you afraid? Verse 41.
They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?
They was around him, but they really didn't know him. And sometimes you're one trial away from knowing God. See, you may be serving God, but you don't really know him till that person walk out your life, and till they lie on you and stab you in the back. You don't know him till you lose a loved one and you're crying out of grave. You don't really know him, but then you find out who he really is. What kind of man is this? Point number six. The voice within knows what's in us because it's him. He's in us. He's in us. Oh, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I can preach whole sermons about just Christ in us. And if you're here today, I'm not even going to wait to the end. If you're here today and you've never invited him in, let's go ahead and take care of that. If you're watching online and you've never invited him in, let's take care of that right now. If you're watching the replay and you never asked him in, let's take care of it right now. And it really don't take a whole lot of time. All you got to say is, God, come inside. You sent your son to die for my sins. And so I exchange my sins for your son. Let him come on the inside and live in me. All right, here's the last takeaway. This is powerful. Takeaway F. They were shocked at who he was, but should have been shocked at who they were not. They looked at him and said, what kind of man is this? But he was looking at them and saying, why don't you have no faith? Because if I'm with you, I'm in you. Now, here's the difference. Back then, he could only be with them. But now he can be within. That's why he's the leader within. And so while we are praising God about who he was, while I was resting, I seen some of y'all standing up and praising the Lord. But next time you look in the mirror, you ought to have the same praise, because he's in there. He's inside of you. And because he's inside of you, there's something special about you because of who dwells on the inside. They were shocked at who he was, but shouldn't be a shock. Let me explain this to you. I thought of this real quick. I have been able to do one of those DNA tests and to see who my DNA is. What was rather interesting, which would be rather shocking and confusing, if me and Joyce Mitchell didn't share the same DNA. Because I was in her. I literally was in her. So because I was in her, we have to have the same DNA, because I was in her. If he's in me, the same DNA that's in him got to be in me. It would be scientifically impossible to have something in you that doesn't share the same structure as you. And so what he's trying to tell him, you shocked at me and I'm shocked at you, because you should know if I'm in you, you got everything. Now, I don't have it up here, but just think in your mind's eye the scripture that says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in your mortal body. It's in there. Here's a conclusion. Close us with a conclusion. And I'll go ahead and read the first verse, and I'll have Mother Mitchell read the second verse. I'm going to read this verse because this is what we normally hear people quote, but people don't usually finish it. So the first verse of this, Philippians 2:12, says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And this is what we hear often. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This version doesn't say own. I added it because that's what the King James says. Look at what verse 13 says, though.
For it is God who is at work in you.
Where?
In you.
Okay.
Both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
I could teach a whole lesson on that, but I'm not. Just put this up. This is the final takeaway. We are only walking out what he's leading within. So when they tell me to be better, I know I can be better because better is within. If I need to release my debt, I know I can because of who's living within. If I need to be a better spouse, I know I can because of who's living within. So the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God works it in. God puts it in, and then I'm able to work it out. I say this all the time, and I'll say it again. It's going to be impossible for me to go to my bank at this present moment and withdraw $1 million. Because I cannot withdraw what has not previously been deposited. They'll laugh at me. They'll look at me. And if I demand it, they'll call the police on me. Because, fool, you can't get what's not in there. Oh, but when it comes to God, I can make withdrawals because he's already deposited in there. I'm just working out what he's already worked in. There is a leader within. And I'm following that. Come on, let's rise to our feet.
We're going to confess this together. Oh, yeah, the devil is a liar. He tried it, but he's a liar. Repeat after me. God, I know you are in me. Ah, here we got to do that three times. Let's do it a second time. God, I know you are in me. One more time. God, I know you are in me. So, Lord, lead me from within. Lead me from within. Oh, I hear seven times. We got to keep going. Lead me from within. Lead me from within. Lead me from within. Lead me from within. Final time, we're going to say it all together. So, Lord, lead me from within. Let every storm know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe it, go ahead and give God a praise. The greater one is on the inside. Actually, I'm wearing my Air Jordan shirt, and some call him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But the real greatest of all time is the one that's living down on the inside. His name is Jesus. They call him marriage baby, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. He's El Shaddai. He's Adonai. It's God, and I give him praise. Come on, one final prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we go in the power of the greater one. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week.